And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, As Deep Waters, was written by Joseph Mindel and is presented to commemorate the Jewish holiday of Simchas Torah, the celebration of the reading of the Scripture.
For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not hither, except it water the earth, and make it bring forth, and bud, and give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This is the story of a book. The words are written. The type is cast in molten metal. The press clamors, printing the separate pages. And I remember another, more ancient book.
The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, a flowing brook, a fountain.
When the pages are cut and bound and the ink is dry, you will perhaps hold the book in your hand. But there is more that I must tell you. For the meaning of a book is sometimes greater than the sum of the words written. September of 1942. A German train passes through Polish fields loaded with human freight.
Stand still, Fellner. It's bad enough without your pushing.
I want to move in. Let others get to the window.
Window? A hole not even a foot square.
The stench is not as bad here. We'll take turns.
How? We're packed so close you can't move an inch.
We have to try. It's no use. Even here there are degrees of misery.
Console yourself, Fellner. Our turn will come. Do you see the light coming in? The afternoon sun is on the left.
I see it.
Don't you understand? We're going north. They're taking us to a concentration camp in the north. We'll be the first to freeze at this window of yours. You see? It evens out.
Yes. In the concentration camp, we will all freeze.
Didn't you bring something warm to wear?
There was no time. I heard the footsteps on the stairs and it was too late.
Of course it's too late then. Didn't you know they would come for us sooner or later?
I knew.
You see my bundle? It was ready months ago at the side of my bed every night. Oh, I thought about it for a long time. I packed nothing new, nothing a Nazi guard would want. There's a sweater in here, old and torn, but warm. I prepared for them, Fellner. What were you doing all these months?
There are different ways of preparing. I have to finish something.
What are you talking about?
I wrote every night, page after page, sometimes until daybreak. And I did finish. Then the boots on the stairs.
And in that last minute before they broke down the door, that's what you picked up? That's what you're carrying with you to the concentration camp? Wrapped so carefully and tied with a string? Oh, Fellner.
Don't laugh.
There's nothing to laugh about. I also packed a woolen vest. You can wear that.
You think I'm a fool?
You're worse than a fool. Oh, I don't know what I think. Is a moth-eaten sweater a surer sign of wisdom? But you are a fool if you think they'll let you keep your scribbling.
Why not? Why shouldn't they?
Because you value it. Because words written down may be dangerous. Or for no reason at all.
I'll hide it.
They'll find it. And when they do, they'll burn it.
No, no, no. They can't. Do you hear me? They mustn't burn it.
They can and they will.
Here, take it. Take it, I say.
But your manuscript is no safer with me.
Your left arm is free. You can reach the window.
A cat could hardly squeeze between those bars.
Try. Do what I tell you. Throw it as far as you can.
There. It's done. Words written down can pass through a narrow space, eh, Fellner? Tell me something. I still have my sweater. Fellner? What do you have left?
In that time and in that place to which they were taken, nothing was left to shield them against the cold night and the final bitter end. Nothing was left. Only a narrow space in which to whisper a denial. And a package, carefully wrapped and tied with string, lying in a Polish field. And therefore, it was not an end.
Mikhail? Come here, Mikhail.
Later, Anya, when we've finished working.
So come and look.
You don't make a harvest by looking down the tracks and wondering where the train goes. You know where it goes. Just be thankful we're not Jews.
Look at what I found.
Oh, what? A bird's nest?
I almost didn't see it hidden here under the bushes.
Huh?
It's tied with so many knots. It must be something precious.
Don't open it, Anya.
Oh, I want to see what it is.
Not now. Not here. They can see us from the other end of the field. They're looking at us already.
Let them look.
Go back to work, Anya. Hide it under the bushes and get back to work. Later, I'll carry it home under my jacket. Then we'll see what we have. Hang something over the window.
What's the matter with you, Mikko?
Ladislav walked home with us, didn't he? He's curious, I can tell.
But what of it? I found something in the field. Is that a crime?
Anya, where do you think it came from, that this package you found?
I don't know. I didn't think about it.
Well, think about it now. Well, Anya?
Well, it fell from a train that went by.
You understand, if we don't bring it to the German commandant in the town hall, then it is a crime. We'll have to be careful.
Well, let's get rid of it. Tomorrow you'll throw it in the river.
No.
Mikhail, I'm afraid.
Anya, what does a farmer, a poor farmer like me, have to look forward to?
Mikhail,
well, I'll tell you, bad luck. If not today, then next week or next month. The crop fails or the cow gets sick and doesn't give milk. Or the Germans come and they take the harvest and the cow. But now something good happens. Should we throw it away because we're afraid? No. They'll cover the window on you. We'll soon see what it is. Ah, there's so many knots.
Give it to me. I'll untie them.
Whatever it's worth, if only a few zlotys, we're entitled to a little good luck. Only a little bit. What? Mikhail's treasure. Paper? Nothing but sheets of useless, worthless paper.
No, Mikhail, don't tear it.
Why not? What's it good for? Here, I'll show you. Here, you can use it to light a fire in the
stove. Don't give it to me. Oh, look what you did. It's all wrinkled now. Mikhail, what does the writing say?
It's not even in decent letters like a book. It's handwritten.
Well, you can read it. What does it say?
The Way of Life by Leon Fellner.
The Way of Life. What does it mean?
Oh, how should I know? It's time to eat, Anya. I'm hungry.
Oh, I'll light the fire and warm up the soup.
So, you're burning it after all.
No, only the wrapping. I'll keep it in my shawl. My good one with the satin binding.
Anya, it's late. Why don't you go to sleep?
I'll sit up for a while.
Then put out the lamp so I can sleep.
Soon, Mikko. Just a little longer.
I don't understand you, Anya. You sit there turning the pages as if you...
Of course I turn the pages.
As if you could read them.
It's a book, isn't it?
Come in, Ladislav. Come in.
Anya! Where did you hide the treasure?
She wrapped it up in her best shawl. Mm-hmm. Anya!
Why do you want it?
Never mind. Just let me have it now.
I am interested in books, Anya.
He used to be a clerk, you know.
It's not a book. It's written by hand.
Well, it's the same thing, after all.
Come, come. Bring it out. We can trust Ladislav. Besides, he's willing to pay for it.
I'll want to see it first, you understand.
Oh, no, naturally.
It's not for sale.
Anya, do as I ask you.
I found it, didn't I? You would have thrown it in the fire, but I saved it. It's mine, and it's not for sale.
I'll come back another time, Mikhail.
Don't go, Ladislav.
Well, maybe tomorrow, if Anya will allow you to bring your friends to the house.
You should not have done what you did.
Don't, Mikhail. I know that look. When I lived in my father's house, he also used to beat me.
If you also shamed him before his friends, then I don't blame him.
That was all he knew to do for his children. A slap and a curse. Never a word to help. Never sending them to school to learn. He was an ignorant peasant just like you.
What do you mean, ignorant? I know how to read.
What good is it if you don't read?
Well, how can I read when there isn't a book in the house?
In my father's house, there were no books either. Mikko, if we have sons or daughters, I don't want them to grow up in a house without a book.
Oh. All right, Anya. You can keep it.
I'm glad. Mikko, will you do something else for me?
What?
Our book. Read it to me.
Now? All at once?
A little at a time, every night after work, when we're resting.
Anya, this isn't a letter from your sister. This is a book. And reading isn't the same as understanding.
There's enough time. You'll read it over and over until we do understand. Maybe, who knows? Maybe I'll learn to read it myself.
Ladislav would have given half a zloty for it.
Will you do it? Will you read it to me?
Or at least a quarter of a zloty.
You must, Mikko. So that we'll have something to be a heritage for our children.
The inheritance of those years was blood and hunger. Trains rolled through the Polish fields and armies fought and battles were lost and won. In a good season, wheat grew again beside the tracks. Though now the German commandant was gone, and a commissar sat in the town hall.
Mikhail?
Yes, Your Excellency.
No. No titles. We are all comrades. Now, it has come to my attention that you have a certain manuscript.
Ladislav told you.
Never mind who told me.
How does he know? Did he see it?
That's not your affair.
Well, just ask him. Did he see it? Ask him to swear by the memory of his father and mother.
Comrade!
Anybody can talk about a manuscript. Even I might have said something. But talk isn't proof. A man can say
be
many...
Still! Comrade?
I'm sorry, Comrade Commissar. I got excited. But after all, just because Ladislav said that he...
That's enough! I did not call you here to argue with you. You see the sergeant there at the desk? Tomorrow you will bring the manuscript and leave it with him.
Bring the book to the table, Anya. Oh, that shawl was such a pretty blue. It's faded.
Mikhail, I don't want to give up our book.
I'll tell you what he said, Anya.
Comrade, he said, the possession of unauthorized literature is an offense against the people's state.
Before the communists, when the Nazis were here, we hid the book from them. It was also a crime.
Oh, my little Anya is becoming a hardened criminal.
Don't make jokes. Mikhail, you said he wasn't sure.
Well, how can he be sure? Vladislav himself never saw it.
Then if you just don't go to the town hall tomorrow,
maybe...
You
didn't see the look on his face when he called me, comrade.
If you don't, then maybe he'll think it was a mistake and forget about it.
Comrade Commissar won't forget. If I don't bring him the manuscript, he'll come here with soldiers to search for it.
And if he doesn't find it?
Why was that possible? Our house isn't so big. There aren't so many hiding places.
I mean, suppose it's not in the house at all. Suppose it's hidden in the fields, buried in the earth.
Yes, it could be done.
Then hurry, Mikhail, while it's still
dark. Oh, wait, we have to consider, Anya.
Not now, hurry.
Now, listen to me. What will be accomplished this way?
If you bring it to them tomorrow in the town hall, they'll burn it.
And if we bury it in the earth, then what do we have?
The book will be safe. Don't you understand?
Oh, it's only little pieces of paper we're scribbling. No, Anya, I don't understand.
They are the words of a man's imagining. Look. Oh, I can read them now. The Way of Life by Leon Fellner. Mikko, if you save a book, maybe it's like saying how you want to live.
A seed planted is safe, buried in the earth. But if it does not sprout and bear fruit, then what is it? For there is a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to keep silence and a time to speak.
There was a stranger in the town today.
A stranger?
I saw him when I went to the market.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, Mikko.
The scythe needs sharpening, Anya. I can listen at the same time.
He was from America.
America? Why should anyone come here from America?
They were walking through the market, he and the commissar. I heard him say that he was sent to look for survivors.
He doesn't have to look far. Didn't he see you? Didn't he see all of us?
No, he meant those who were in the camps and are still alive.
He won't find many.
Mikko, he spoke to me.
Anya, it's dangerous to speak to foreigners.
He spoke to me.
Even so. What did he say?
He wants to come to our house to talk to us.
A foreigner in our house? An American? We'll both be put in prison.
He has permission to make inquiries. The commissar himself said so.
Anya, what can we have to tell him? This stranger from America.
When the camps were thrown open, the people often came back to their former homes. Do you know of such a person in this neighborhood?
If there was someone, what would you do?
I would... Well, that is, the committee I represent would help them.
With money?
If they wanted to remain here. Or if they wanted to leave, we would help them do that.
Where would they go?
I have a number of visas for Israel.
Israel? It's far, isn't it?
Very far. But it's a place where they are wanted. Do you know of someone?
No. We don't know anybody.
You have nothing to tell me?
We've answered your questions.
Yes. Will you answer just one more? Is it true that you've been hiding a manuscript?
He knows.
He's still on you. Who sent you? The commissar?
I'm clumsy. Forgive me. I didn't mean to frighten you. The commissar had nothing to do with it.
Well, then who told you?
Listen to me. You know why I'm here. To help those who survived the camps. And those who did not, it is also important to save what can be saved. Will you please show me the manuscript?
It's ours.
Anya, please.
I found it. I hid it from the Nazis, from the communists. It's mine!
Anya, if a book is written, to whom does it belong? The shawl is stained by the earth, but the writing is still clear.
I'll wrap it in something else and bury it again. I can wait. The Nazis were here and they're gone. Someday the communists will be gone. I can wait.
Look, Anya, the paper's beginning to rot like a seed buried too deep.
You want to give it up, Mikhail?
He has only to tell the commissar, Anya.
Do you think I would do that, Mikhail? Did you let me read it thinking that?
No. Well, what would you do with it?
A book should be read by others, or else it is only paper buried in the earth.
You take it to Israel to be printed?
No.
This is all that Leon Fellner left.
And I saved it. We're his heirs.
Yes, Anya. The inheritance is for you. But not for you alone.
Give it to me.
Anya!
Where is he, Mikko? Do you see him?
Be careful, Anya. You carry it openly as if you...
It's only a bundle wrapped in a shawl. Look for him.
You brought it, Anya.
Oh. Here. Take it. For a little while, I thought I could hide it again. Take it with you.
Put it here on the crate, and when you go, leave it there. It's safer that way. Anya, thank you.
Listen, there's something you must tell me.
The train goes in a few minutes.
It won't take long. You did not know Leon Fellner. Of course not, neither did I, but he taught me how to read.
Every night we sat together, Anya and I, and she learned.
I see him at his table writing. Oh, I see him plainly as I see the words he wrote. A man cannot say to the angel of death, wait, I wish to arrange my affairs. Then I will not waste my breath. I will write down that which must be said quickly, quickly, before the clatter of boots on the stairs drowns out the sound of my voice. I read the words and I do not understand. I do not understand.
Anya, my little Anya, please.
The way of life, he called it. Don't you see him sitting at his table in a world black with terror and death? But he could write of love and mercy and justice, of living without fear and hate. He was waiting for death. Tell me how he could think of the way of life. Tell me.
You do not have to ask me, Anya.
Then whom shall I ask?
The answer is here in the book. It is not an answer Leon Fellner discovered, but one written long ago in a world that was no gentler than his. The laws of the Torah were given that men should live by them, not that they should die by them.
It is a story of survival. And if you ask me what survives, I will tell you this. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, a flowing brook, a fountain. I see a faded shawl stained by the earth and a book printed so that others may read. And I hear the voice of Isaiah.
For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not hither, except it water the earth, and make it bring forth, and bud, and give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Martin Kane, prominent business and civic leader, a member of the Metropolitan New York Cabinet of the Jewish Seminary of America. Mr. Kane.
Today's script raises many questions. Questions about values, about human brotherhood, and about the nature of survival itself. It is easy to understand that under certain circumstances, a warm sweater should seem more important than even a major contribution to human knowledge or welfare. After all, we too live in a world in which millions are spent for armaments and for defense, and woefully little to finance the important contemporary efforts to create the basis for a lasting peace. Similarly, it is easy to understand the impulse to destroy a document which has been fortuitously acquired and which has relatively little meaning to its custodians, especially when mere possession of it constitutes a threat to life itself. Anya's purposeful defense of the manuscript, her recognition that it embodies values beyond her comprehension, and her gratitude because it has provided her with the key to the magic world of literacy, are actions which transcend the animal drives of much daily behavior and symbolize the divine potentiality which is part of our human nature. If more of us could learn her respect for values beyond our understanding or its relevance to our own lives, human brotherhood would rapidly become an actual condition rather than an aspiration and an ideal. Finally, we are stimulated to think about survival itself. Is it merely a question of keeping the body alive for as many years or days or hours or minutes as possible? Or is the survival of Leon Fellner, the immortality achieved by fulfilling one's role and leaving the world richer by a book or a poem or a thought because one has lived? Is this, we ask ourselves, a higher order of survival? Unfortunately, not all of us are blessed with the ability to create, but many of us have found that by working with institutions and organizations concerned with ultimate human values, we can participate, at least vicariously, in this higher kind of survival. I know that my work, small though it may be, for the Jewish Theological Seminary of America has given me a sense of identification with all of the seminary's work, including the eternal light, which is sometimes more satisfying than those day-to-day business achievements which, because they have a tangible dollar reward, should perhaps, under the aspect of eternity, be equated with a woolen sweater.
Thank you, Mr. Kane. Our eternal light drama today, As Deep Waters, was written by Joseph Mindel and was presented to commemorate the Jewish holiday of Simchas Torah, the celebration of the reading of the scripture. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Joan Lazer, Larry Robinson, Leon Janney, Ivor Francis, Joseph Boland, and John Seymour. Your narrator was Roger DeCoven. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program was directed by Parker Gibb. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.